الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers, I remind myself and you that the basis of this deen is to say and to believe in our hearts أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. That we bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is alone and that there is no one who shares anything with Him. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِكَ لَهُ. And we bear witness that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger and last and final Nabi, and that there is no Nabi and no Rasul after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The foundation of this deen is to accept in our heart this message of Tawheed, this message of the Wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to act according to that message in our lives. What is the meaning of Wahdahu la sharika lahu? It means that there is no one who is worthy of worship except Allah, that there is no one who can help except Allah, that there is no one who can remove any difficulty except Allah, that there is no one who can cause any calamity except Allah, that everything good comes from Allah, and that everything that is harmful also comes from Allah, that there is no one who is other than Allah who can do anything. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is to believe this and to act according to this. In a hadith narrated by Zaid bin Khalid al-Juhani radiallahu anhu, who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hudaybiyah, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led them in Salatul Fajr after a night in which it had rained. And after Salatul Fajr, he turned around and he sat and he said, "Do you know what your Rabb says?" And the Sahaba said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Your Rabb says that this night some of my slaves were believers and some of my slaves became disbelievers." He said that my Rabb says, and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying my Rabb says, what does it mean? This is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, my Rabb says that today some of my slaves are believers, they became believers, and some of my slaves became non-believers, disbelievers. That means they left Islam. And then he continued and he said that my Rabb said that those who believed that this rain which came was from my mercy are believers. And those who believe that this rain came because of the star, they were non-believers. There was a belief like we have here that we talk about, you know, kya bolte, mirak ki karti lag gayi bolte, nahi? We believe on all this. This is the when the stars are in this constellation, it will rain, and when the stars are in that constellation, it will not rain, and so on and so forth. That the fortunes of humanity are based on which star is in which orbit. What is the Messenger of Allah? What is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying about these beliefs? He's saying that this is disbelief. This is shirk. And this takes you out of Islam. Today in this country we have great faith in Allah and in Vastu. We should be ashamed. Muslims believe in Vastu. And they build their houses according to Vastu. And then if you tell them, they give you all these lame excuses. They say, no, you see, I am not building the house for myself. If I don't build it like this, I will not get people to come and stay, I won't get tenants, or if I can't sell the house later on, nobody will buy it if it is against Vastu. What will you answer Allah? If you have that belief in Vastu, you have exited Islam. If that is your aqidah, that Vastu can bring you good fortune and bad fortune, then you are no longer a Muslim. I am not making the fatwa, I am giving you the dalil of the hadith. Please understand this very clearly. In another hadith, very beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of the festival, I was shown the people in Hajj. I was shown the nations in Hajj. And he said that I was shown my nation which filled the valleys and the mountains. They were so numerous. He said, I was astonished to see my nation which was so numerous. It filled the hills and the valleys. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me, and he said, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you satisfied with this? And I said, Rabbul Alameen, I am satisfied with this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yet there are 70,000 more who will enter Jannah without hisab. In addition to this, he said, there are 70,000 more who will enter Jannah without hisab. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Allah, who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are the ones who believe in me and have tawakkul on me, and who do not use ta'weez, they do not use amulets, and they do not believe in all this stuff like vastu and so on, which means the stars and all of that, and they do not take any kinds of cures for illnesses which are not directly, that is medicine, they take medicine, but they don't take, for example, somebody says, you know, go and burn yourself with a coal somewhere and there, that will cure this illness and that illness, which is things which are superstition, basically, that is what it means. It's not things which have scientific evidence behind them, but things which are superstition, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah SAW said, that Allah says that these people who do not take this, no ta'weezes, no amulets, no belief in things like stars and so on and so forth, these are the people, 70,000 of them will enter the Jannah without hisab. And there was a sahabi at that time there called Ukkasha radiallahu anhu. He stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, please ask Allah to put my name among those 70,000. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are among the 70,000. Another person stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, put my name also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ukkasha has taken sabqat before you. He is the one who has won the race ahead of you. So that was the, he did not take the name of the second sahabi. I remind myself and you that this is the basis, tawheed is the basis of this deen. The reason I'm saying it now is all this examination season. So people want to pass exams and similar things. And then other things also happen in life. Maybe there is a disease, maybe there is some illness that you have, which you have tried this doctor, that doctor, that doctor, and the illness is not getting cured. And now shaitan comes to you and says, no, go to that grave, go and pray to that saint, and go to this particular grave and go and ask that saint, or do this or do that, or take a black crow and, you know, wrap it around your head. Oh, Allah knows, all kinds of creative ideas of, people say black crow. Have you ever seen a white crow? What kind of crow is that? So, they have, people have all this. Take the blood of a black pigeon. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. All kinds of shayateeni amal. People get attractive. See, one can understand the fact that you are, that the person is in pain, that the person is really suffering from something. So therefore, we are not unsympathetic about this. We know this, whatever happens to that person, the individual knows that maybe there is some loss in life or there is some, you know, illness or something. But the reality of life is that no matter what it is, at the end of the day, if it is your qadar that it should go, it will go. If it is not your qadar, and if you are supposed to live with that until you die, that is what will happen. There is nothing that's going to change that qadar. And if instead of accepting this qadar, if you go and take resort to such things, then you not only have the disease, and not only will you die with the disease, you will also die without iman. And then you had a disease in this dunya, which would have ended and you would have got Jannah when you died. Now you would have had the disease in the dunya, and you will have Jahannam in the akhirah. Now what sense does it make? Because you die without iman, and then you are in the hellfire. Well, what sense does it make? The reality of life is that Islam does not prevent us from resorting to or from seeking normal cures, you know, which is medicine and hospital and whatever, doctors. People where there is a logical cure for an illness, or there is a logical methodology to resolve something. But Islam prohibits us from superstition of any kind, of all these kinds of false beliefs, that if a door is on this side, you will have good luck, and if a door is on that side, you will have bad luck. I mean, what sense does it make? If you put your bathroom in your kitchen, it is going to bring you good luck. And if you put your kitchen in the bathroom, then it is going to bring you bad luck. What? absolute nonsense that we like to believe. We should have some sense. All of these things, I am not making a list, because every day there's a new one. Whether it is Vastu, or whether it is Feng Shui, or whether it is whatever else. Or kya kya hai? Balavata duniya. So the point is that all of these things, irrespective, all astrology, for example, there's a difference between astrology and astronomy. We're not talking about astronomy, we're talking about astrology, which is the belief, the false belief that the stars affect the lives of people, right? Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha used to go and visit people who had babies, newborn babies. She went to one place and she picked up the baby and she lifted the pillow that the baby was lying on, because she knew these people what beliefs they had, and there was a cutthroat razor under the pillow. And she said, "What is this?" They said, "No, we kept it there for the jinn, against the jinn." And Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Remove this and throw it away." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited this, and this amounts to shirk. So all these kinds of so-called beliefs that negate Islam, right? We should be very wary and careful of them, because these are the things which directly go against the beauty and purity of this faith. If we bring these into the faith, then what is the difference between us and anybody else, right? This is what everybody else does. People go to they go and ask favors from graves, and they ask favors from temples, and they ask favors from trees and rocks. What difference is there between a Muslim and anybody else? Our difference is that we don't do all this rubbish. We ask only Allah. We ask only Allah, because we know that only Allah can give. If that, even imagine, supposing for example that somebody is not getting a cure for something, or people, they have this desire for children, right? So they do not have children, and then somebody says, no, go and pray to this Khaja so and so, and he will give you children. So they go and pray to this Khaja, and then lo and behold, they have, at one shot, they have four children together, all quadruplets, right? So now you say, oh see, I prayed there and I had quadruplets. The reality of life is that if this was in your qadr, even if you had not gone there, on that particular day you would have had them anyway. You didn't have them because you went there, you had them because that was your qadr. That was going to happen to you in any case. But you went and destroyed your iman. Shaitan came in between and guided you, and you went to this place, and you worship there, and you ask the dead person in the grave, and you destroyed your iman. Those children, you would have had those children anyway with tawheed. But instead of that, now you had those children and you destroyed your iman in the process. Same thing applies. My daughter is not getting married. And all of these are our standard problems. My daughter is not getting married. So what do you do now? Now you go and change the door of your house, and you put the door instead of in the wall, you put the door in the ceiling. Then you put a ladder, you climb up the ladder, climb onto the roof, and then climb down on the other side, because they're supposed to give you the husband to your daughter. If your daughter was to be married, she is going to be married. If she is not going to be married, she is not going to be married. That is part of your qadr. The spouse is part of your risk. This does not prevent us from taking normal steps, right? So go and seek in the normal halal fashion. Go and look for a good husband or a good wife. Nothing wrong with that. Nobody says don't do that, right? But the reality is that if it is to happen to you, this is from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't lose hope in Allah, and then get hope in makhluk, and that also in dead people and this and that and trees and stars and la hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Please let us be very clear in our minds. The significant way we entered Islam is by a belief. We entered Islam by uttering one sentence, by a belief and by uttering one sentence. And we exit Islam also in the same way. It is as easy to enter Islam as it is to exit Islam. Let us make no mistake about this. If we spoil our belief, then there is nothing. Then there is no Islam. And if there is no Islam, it does not mean that your face will change, or you will grow two horns and a tail. No. You will still look the same. You will still be the same. If you have a beard, you still have the same beard, and so on. But there is no iman. The iman has gone. And you have become, you have made yourself into a mushrik. And then if you die on that akhidah, may Allah protect us from that, then we know what happens after that. So we do not want to be in that situation. Please, I remind myself and you, and also warn your friends and your family and so on, who are engaged in this. This is a big fitrah. Everywhere in the world, people believing in all sorts of nonsensical things, and Muslims believing in nonsensical things, and leaving the tawheed, the purity of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, yuhi wa yumit, wa huwa hayyu alladhi la yamut, biyadihi al-khayr, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. This is the shan of our Rabb. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us in the purity of tawheed always, and to protect us from all shirk and all kufr. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.